We're starting a very interesting and famous story in Vayin Yaakov on Shabbos. We're on page 36, the second line where the lines get wide. This week we will just run through the story simply, read it with the simple understanding so we familiarize ourselves with the story. And then, God willing, in the following weeks we'll analyze it with some more depth. So we had earlier quoted Rabbi Yehuda, which is Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Eloi, and he was referred to as Rosh HaMedabrim B'Kol Makom, the first speaker everywhere. So the Talmud now asks, in the second wide line, we're on page Yud Ches Amid Beis, and it's easy to remember, what we're about to learn is about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, which is in Tractate Shabbos, page Lamed Gimel, just like Lag BaOmer is when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai passed away, so too, this whole story of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is on page Lamed Gimel in Tractate Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "V'amai karule," and why was he called Rosh HaMedabrim B'chol Makom, the first speaker everywhere? Answers the Gemara the following story: Deyatve Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon. Three great sages were sitting together: Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Eloi; Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Chalafta; and Rabbi Shimon, the son of Yochai, who was a big philanthropist. V'yativ Yehuda ben Gerim Gabayu. And there was a student who was Yehuda, whose father and mother were both Gerim. Both his parents were converts. And Yehuda ben Gerim, we find in Tractate Moed Katan, was a disciple of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai actually held him in high esteem, because he told his son, Rabbi Elazar, go get a blessing from him. So you see that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai held him in high esteem, and that's why the rabbis are about to have a very private conversation in his presence. So he is sitting there. Patach Rabbi Yehuda v'amar. So Rabbi Yehuda began and said the following. Now, just so we get a picture of what generation this is. This is the generation, these are the disciples of Rabbi Akiva. Their Rabbi, Rabbi Akiva, was tortured to death by the Romans. The Romans have destroyed the Second Temple. This is post-Second Temple era. The Romans have destroyed Bar Kochva. It's questionable whether this is during the Bar Kochva revolt, just after the Bar Kochva revolt. But the Jews have to contend with this enemy who has taken over the land of Israel, taken over their economy, this enemy who has such a huge army that it seems like it's insurmountable. There's no way they could defeat them. We read about the destruction of the Second Temple. When you open Josephus, you suddenly realize it was just a legion or two that came here to destroy the Second Temple. They had a tremendous army. They didn't even exert themselves too much to destroy the temple. So it was hard work, because we knew the terrain and we took advantage of the terrain and we had fierce warriors. But at the end of the day, the Romans took us down relatively easily. So Rabbi Yehuda begins and says, "Kama na'im ma'asehem shel uma zo." How beautiful are the actions of this nation, the Romans. Wow. Rabbi Yehuda could talk that way. Look at the intellectual honesty. Tiknu shvakim. They established marketplaces. They arranged a commerce. Tiknu gesharim. They arranged bridges. They arranged infrastructure. Tiknu merchatzaot. They arranged bathhouses. We have to note that these three things are referenced elsewhere. When the Talmud tells us that Yaakov Avinu came to the land of Israel, it says he beautified Israel when he came here. So the Talmud says, what did he do to beautify Israel? One opinion is he set up marketplaces. The second opinion is he set up infrastructure. The third opinion is he set up bathhouses. There are more opinions. But you have to see the correlation. Okay. Rabbi Yossi Shatak. So Rabbi Yossi hears Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim and he is silent. Now, whenever you read in Talmud that someone was silent, that has one of two interpretations. Silence was an active silence. When our sages were silent, they made a face. That's why the oral tradition involves not only what was said, but also the expressions with which it was said. And so when it says he was silent, those who learned this tradition knew whether it meant he was silent with a face that said, I heartily agree, or it was with a face that says, I heartily disagree. Part of our tradition is also the expressions that came with the teachings. Na'anah Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai aroused himself and said, Kol ma shetiknu lo tiknu ala letzorach atzman. Everything they established was for themselves. Tiknu shvakim lo shiv bem zonot. They set up markets to establish women of ill repute. Mechatzaot ladin bem atzman. They set up bathhouses because they wanted to soften themselves. Gesharim litol mehem mechasim. They set up bridges because they can make money off it. They tax us over the use of those bridges. Halach Yehuda v'ngerim v'siper divrihem. Although they had a private conversation, Yehuda ben Gerim wasn't careful. He mentioned this conversation to other students or to his parents. And because he didn't keep it in confidence, v'nishme'u l'malchut, word got out to the Roman Empire that this was the conversation that transpired between the great sages of Israel. Amru, so the Romans said, Yehuda she'ila yitale. Yehuda, who praised us, well then we will elevate him. And so they made a decree that whenever the rabbis convene, Rabbi Yehuda should be the first to express his opinion. And that's why we find, as the Talmud said earlier, that Yehuda is called, Rabbi Yehuda is called Rosh HaMdabrim Bechol Makom, the first speaker everywhere. So that's what they charged Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi sheshatak yigla letzipori. Rabbi Yossi was silent, let him be exiled to Tzipori. We'll have to analyze that because he actually came from Tzipori. His father was the chief rabbi of Tzipori. So what kind of exile was that? Shimon shegina yareg. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, he derided us, he should be executed. So the Romans set out wanted signs for Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Azalhu ubrei tashu beimedrasha. So he and his son went and hid in the base medrash. That's strange. I think that's the last place to hide. Wouldn't the Romans know that's where you look for the rabbi? Okay, so they hid in the base medrash. Kol yoma havet maitu lehu debitu rifta. Every day his wife used to bring him bread. Vekuza demaya vekarche. She'd bring him some water and she'd bring him some other food to eat. I don't know exactly what karche is. Kitakif gezerta, when the Romans made the decree more harsh, they started looking for him with greater diligence. Amar le lebrei, he said to his son, Nashim da'atan kala lehen, din mametza rela umegal yalan. Women are more easily convinced. Maybe they will torture her and she'll reveal where we are. So that also needs work. And men don't reveal if they're tortured? What does that mean, women are more easily convinced? Men wouldn't be convinced by torture? So that also needs work. Well, we'll try to delve into that when we review it. Azlutashu b'me'alta. So they went and hid in a cave. Why'd they go to a cave? Is it just because a cave is an easy place to hide here in Israel? Itrachesh nisa. A miracle happened. Ivri lehu charuva. A carob tree was created for them. Ve'ena demaya. And a stream of water. So now they have food to eat, carobs, and they have water. Ve'havu meshalchei manayhu. And they would remove their clothing. They knew they were there for a while. So they needed their clothing to last. So you can't learn Torah without clothing. And if they'd stay with their clothing would wear thin. So what did they do? They'd get undressed. And then they'd bury themselves in sand till their neck. So they covered themselves in sand. That way their body wasn't exposed and they could learn Torah. And they could learn Torah and they wouldn't wear down their clothing. Kule yoma galse. All day long, the father and son sat there learning, reviewing all their learning by heart, covered in sand, just looking at one another, talking and learning. Be'idan tziluye, when it came time to daven, lavshu, michsu, umatzlu. They'd get out of the sand, dress themselves, pray, and then, v'hadal meshalchi manayu, they'd remove their clothing again, kechid lo livlu, because they didn't want their clothing to wear out. So they really thought they'd be there a long time. Itivu treisach shane b'me'alta. They spent 12 years in the cave. 12 years in sand. Every day, just learning Torah. They don't go for walks. They can't be seen outside the cave. They're there in the cave for 12 years learning, father and son, eating carob, drinking water, and just learning Torah. As they're learning there, their skin gets all dried out. The person who spends his whole day in the sand, so the skin gets completely parched. At Eliyahu, v'kama pitcha d'me'alta. So Eliyahu, we know Eliyahu, right? He came and stood at the entrance to the cave. Amar, so he called out, Man lo de l'bar Yochai demit Kesar. Who's going to tell the son of Yochai that the Caesar is dead? Uvatil gzerate. And his decree has been annulled. When the Caesar dies, they annul all his decree. We start fresh. Nafku. So the father and son got dressed. They came out of the cave. Okay, they've spent 12 years excluded, excommunicated from the whole world, living a life of complete piety, just Torah. Now they come out of the cave. Chazu inshe de kakalbe vizare. They look around and they see human beings plowing and planting. They said, how could people waste time and deal with mundane things? They could be dealing with the most spiritual things like Torah. How could people be dealing with things so simple as plowing and planting? Anywhere they would look would get burnt. So a heavenly voice came out and said, did you come out of your cave to destroy my world? Go back to the cave. So they go back to the cave. They went back to the cave. They spent another 12 months in the cave. Now are they ready to come out? We'll see. We'll pick up here Bezrat Hashem next week. So we're in the middle of the story. We're just out of time. Time for our Arvit.
Didn't Rabbi Yehuda again was held